Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned unto the drought of summer. Selah. Stop. Look and listen. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord. Thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse, or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous. Shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. We find in the first five verses David's confession. He calls when he needed to confess his sin. He recalls this in his life when he needed to confess his sins. We see in verses 3 and 4 the bitterness that he had. Look at that again. When I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. So we see the bitterness. David describes his agony before he confessed his sins. He tried for about a year to hide the sin that he had committed. But the Lord was putting divine pressure on him, and that guilt was just coming out more and more and more. We find in verse 3 he was weak and miserable. His strength had evaporated here in verse 4. Then we find in verse 1, 2, and 5 the blessedness. So look at number 1 again. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Then we find in verse 5 again, I acknowledge my sin unto thee. Mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Thou forgavest the iniquity of my heart. So we see here his confession. Now we see the counsel that he gives. David advised the saved to repent of their sins here in verses 6 and 7. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. And then in verses 8 through 11 we find the commission. What the Lord would do in verses 8 and 10. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Many sorrows shall be unto the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. So here, what the Lord would do, he promised to lead the king David, and then he promised to love the king David. Now, what the king should do in verses 9 and 10, let's look at that. Be ye not as the horse, don't be stubborn, like the mule and a horse, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. So here, what the king should do. Don't be stubborn. Verse 10. Many sorrows shall be unto the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. He should be obedient to God, to follow Him, you have no need of a bit or a bridle whatsoever. Just follow the Lord. Now, as we look at these verses, why feel guilty? For a whole year, David was miserable, trying to hide his sin. He was miserable. As I've said, divine pressure was put on him because of his sin. You can read 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12, and you can find the kind of sin that David fell into. And now, after about a year, he's confessing that to the Lord. And I want to begin by saying, happiness is to be forgiven. Happiness is to be forgiven. It is an emotion that defies description when we know that we've been forgiven. It is the relief of an enormous burden lifted, of a debt canceled, of a conscience at rest. Do you ever have your feelings hurt by people you think are your friends, and yet you meet up with them face to face and they won't even speak to you? Have you ever experienced that? You don't even know what the trouble is. Do you feel guilty of not speaking to the Lord often? We should, shouldn't we? If we don't speak to the Lord often in prayer, we ought to feel guilty. If we don't listen to the Lord speak to us through His Word as we study His Word, we ought to feel guilty, because we are guilty. But why feel guilty? Why feel guilty? Guilt is gone, warfare is ended, grace is enjoyed when we confess our sins. Let's look at two or three points here. First of all, I want us to look at God's provision for cleansing His children. Let's go to 1 John chapter 1. And let's look at God's provision for cleansing His children. 1 John chapter 1. We'll begin reading here at verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now this is written to God's people. He goes on to say, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So there is God's provision for cleansing. Confess our sins. If we'll confess our sins, He is just and faithful to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now we have here in Psalms 32, David's description of his guilt feeling. He was miserable. David was miserable. Can we relate to the kind of misery David might have experienced because of unconfessed sin? Look, he feels miserable and he's unhappy all the day long. We find a lot of professed saved people unhappy. Why is it that they seem to be unhappy? Could it be unconfessed sin in life? That's a burden that person carries around unnecessarily, because the Lord says if we'll confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Can you identify with the guilty king? Maybe not in the same sins that he's committed, but there may be unconfessed sin in our lives. And therefore, we're going around carrying a burden unnecessarily. Maybe unfaithfulness to the Lord, unfaithful in talking to Him, unfaithful in listening to Him as He talks to us through His Word. And therefore, guilt. Guilt feeling. We're going around unhappy because of this guilt. Unnecessarily. Now, what is guilt? Guilt is the fact or condition of having committed an offense, especially a willful violation of a legal or moral code. Particularly a moral code. This willful violation of moral integrity brings deep feelings of remorse. Therefore, we go around with a guilt feeling unnecessarily. Why feel guilty? Because the Lord said if we'll confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All of us are guilty of times in our lives when we were growing up, not wanting our parents to know that we were involved in this or that. I recall on one occasion of on Sunday evening going swimming when my dad told me not to. I was afraid that he's going to find out about it. There's a consequence to that. Well, you know, we may hide some things from our parents and get by with it, but we can't hide anything from the Lord because He knows all things. He knows all about us. So, why one feels guilty and what to do about it is what I want to talk about now. Why does one feel guilty and then what to do about it? Why feel guilty? One may feel guilty because you are guilty. You may feel guilty because you are guilty. David felt guilty because of his sin. Look at verses 3 and 4. As I said, for a year he tried to cover up or tried to hide his sins. But God knew all about it. And divine pressure just continued to build in the life of David. And you know, the Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. And yet he fell into the grossest of sins. We're all susceptible. When things happen to us, it causes guilt feeling. Why feel guilty? When he says, confess your sins to me. He that confesses his sin, he is just and faithful to forgive our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now let's admit that we're all guilty before God. You want to do that? You want to admit that we're all guilty before God? Let's go to the third chapter of the book of Romans, and I want to show you we're all guilty before God. Romans chapter 3. We begin reading at verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. You know, we're taught in Isaiah 64 and 6 that all our righteousness is in the sight of God, but filthy rags. Even God's people. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And then he begins to describe man outside Christ. Their throat is an open sepulchre. You know, when you go to the doctor, he say, open your mouth. He wants to look in your throat, doesn't he? With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. He said, shut your mouth. You're guilty before the eternal Almighty God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, thou shalt no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. And then he goes on to tell the only way of salvation. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So like Belshazzar, we've been weighed and found wanting, hadn't we? Daniel, the fifth chapter, and I believe it's verse 27. Belshazzar, handwriting on the wall, he said, you've been weighed in the balance and found wanting. Guilt feelings can have a positive effect, though. Let's think together along that line. They're like the warning signs of cancer. Guilt feelings are like the warning signs of cancer. When you really think about it, they're like pains that warn of serious problems in our physical bodies. They may come from an awakened conscience. They may result from the conviction of the Holy Spirit. So, guilt feelings can have a positive effect. Thank God for guilty feelings if they bring you to Him. Thank God for guilty feelings if they bring us to Him. Now, you may feel guilty because you have not been forgiven. I said you may feel guilty because you are guilty. And you may feel guilty because you have not been forgiven. Because you've not acknowledged and confessed your sins before the eternal Almighty God. Note how David felt before confessing his sins and accepting forgiveness. Verses 3 and 4 tells us this. How he felt. He felt older than his years. He felt as though God was against him. A lot of times, people feel that the preacher's against them when they, out of a heart of love and compassion, sharing the truth of the Word of God. And they're guilty, feel guilty, and they don't want that guilt feeling. He felt as though he was in a spiritual desert. Could that be true in our lives? Have there ever been times in our lives we feel like we're in a spiritual desert? Could it be because sins are not forgiven? Because we fail to confess them? Forgiveness was available to David, but he had not accepted it. He went a year without accepting God's forgiveness, without acknowledging his sin to the Lord, who knew all about it anyway. Note the Lord's invitation to be forgiven. In Isaiah 1:18, he says, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Come unto me. And let's think about it. Acknowledge your sins to me. He's with outstretched arms, ready, eager to forgive. The Lord's payment for our sins is given, of course, in Isaiah 53. It's prophesied. It's become a reality in Matthew 26, 27, 28. He fulfilled the prophecy of some 700 years, Isaiah, when he said, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." The Lord's guarantee of forgiveness is given to us in Hebrews 7, verses 25 through 28. We won't take the time to turn and look at that. But it's a guarantee, the Lord's forgiveness. Heaven's celebration of forgiveness we see in Revelation 5, 9, and 10. We won't take the time to turn there. But we see when we're forgiven, heaven celebrates. Our forgiveness, beloved, depends on accepting God's gracious offer to sinners. What do we read in 2 Chronicles 7:14? "If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and will heal their land." But we want to be stubborn like a mule, racing ahead of God like a horse. We don't need Him. I'm my own boss. We don't want to acknowledge our sins. Even grace, beloved, does not force forgiveness on us. Even grace does not force forgiveness upon us. If we'll confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, one can be free from guilt by accepting forgiveness. David went on for a year carrying a burden unnecessary. And I wonder how many people that affected. As David carried an unforgiven sin with him. David finally sought and found forgiveness. Look at verse 5. Let's go to Psalms 51. And identify with the king's guilt confession, could we? Psalms 51. This is where he confesses his sins. But here in verse 32nd division, he's rejoicing over sins forgiven. But let's look at the 51st division of Psalms, and let's read some verses together. Here again, you can go to 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12 and find what was bothering David and how he confessed it to the Lord after about a year. He said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before thee," or before me. "Against thee and thee only have I sinned, done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. You desire truth, Lord, and I have not been truthful with you. I have not been overboard with you." Lord, you know that. You know my sin. "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." You know, I think of John 15 and 3, the words of the Lord when I read that. He said, "Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." I remember the Lord's prayer in John 17:17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." So the greatest cleansing power in all the world, the word of God, the Spirit of God. He said, "Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." He didn't lose his salvation, but he lost the joy. Salvation. Oh, he carried a guilt feeling around for almost a year. So, sins confessed are sins forgiven. Does David's confession of sins do anything to us? If we will confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to hide us from all unrighteousness, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Here again, what are some sins in your life? Failing to talk to the Lord as you should. Failing to listen to Him talk to us. Failing to talk to others about the Lord. God's people have sins of omission, perhaps more than sins of commission. Have you talked to the Lord about it? Have you? "Thou forgavest the iniquity of my sins," David said. What a joy it was to have that guilt feeling removed, to be cleansed again, a cleansed vessel that God could use. God won't use a dirty vessel, but a clean vessel. This will always be true, beloved, because here Jesus said, and I want to reiterate and emphasize this, in 1 John 1 and 9, if we will confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Truth is not in us. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. As we conclude, why remain a prisoner of past sins? And that's what it is. If you go around with a guilt feeling, you're in prison to past sins. Why feel guilty? When we have access to the throne of grace, he said, let's come boldly to the throne of grace. We'll find mercy, grace to help in time of need. Bring your sin to the one who died for sinners. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You don't have to feel guilty anymore, because the Lord says, confess to me, and I will readily forgive sins. Oh, beloved, what a Savior. What a Lord and what a Master. So many saved people carry around extra burdens, and they're unhappy because of unconfessed sin in life. Father, thank you for your instructions that you give us in your holy word. Help us, O God, to apply the truths to our lives each day you permit us to live and move and have our being. May you be exalted and exhibited in our lives, that others may know that Christ is real in our lives, and lost people can see Jesus as we go about our daily activities, walking in the light, walking in the truths of your word. Help us, O God, to be ambassadors for you, that you can smile on, love others through us. We pray for your church here, the congregation, each individual member. Search our hearts, O God, and remove any and all things that would hinder in the working of the Spirit of God as the truth of the Word of God goes forth. In our upcoming protracted meeting, we do pray that it will turn into a revival. We know, Lord, only you can send revival. No preacher can bring revival. It has to come from above. And it comes to your people as a result of your people being revived. Lost people come to know you in the forgiveness of sin. May that revival have begun in my heart as I've anticipated, meditated, prayed, studied, yearned, and longed for a true revival. May it begin in this church and spread out this community, this state, and this nation. Oh, God, we need revival in our nation. We need to return to you as you instruct in your word. Here again, you're talking to your people. If we will confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. May the Holy Spirit fall upon all of us as a fire from heaven. We rejoice in what we have in Christ, and our lives will exhibit that each day. In your name I pray. Amen and amen.